All right, today's segment, we're going to talk about stance and the importance of having a good stance. And we're also going to talk about the value of great teammates. To play in this game, I normally talk about football, but majority of your sports, man, you're going to have to use your teammates. You got sports like singles tennis and golf, and, you know, you got individual sports that you can play. But as far as team sports, it's very important to build camaraderie amongst yourselves whenever you're trying to achieve a goal of being, you know, the best team. And you never want to go into any sport or any competition where you're not trying to be the best. You want to always be the best. Like, always strive to be better than you currently are. And you want to be the best there is. You know, that's how you want to attack it. It's you know, not everybody's going to be the GOAT. You know, not everybody's going to be, you know, sitting in that platform. But everybody's game can be respected. And that's on any level. You know, I mean, where I'm from here in Morristown, we still talk about, you know, how players were at different levels, man. Like from pee wee ball to school ball. You know, and you know, little man making it to college and pros, we talk about that part of his career as well, you know. So you want to definitely strive and push to be, you know, to be the best at anything that you do, no matter whether it's athletics or scholastically or, you know, just working an everyday job. You want to make sure that whatever you do, you're going to give your all, because if you're investing time into something and you're putting your energy towards it, then you get the most you can out of it. And, you know, and that's what you got to do with this sport. You know, speak about 7-on-7 and training with AAU football right now. That's one thing I want those kids to understand. It's like you coming in here for you. There's nobody else that this is, you know, beneficial for other than yourself. You know, right now, just coming here and working yourself. And that's one thing I think those kids really, you know, gravitate and thrive on. And I think that's what's going to end up ultimately making them successful, because they're willing to sacrifice time in order to perfect their craft. But one thing that you got to do, especially on that type of level where you play with different players from different teams and different positions, you know, like you got to learn and understand how to gel together. So we're going to talk a lot about that. I'm going to talk about how that benefited my career and go through a little bit of history of that. And of course, you know, we'll speak about, you know, the guy I dedicate my coaching career to, Jermise Kyle. I'm going to speak about, you know, our dynamics together. But, you know, I really want to concentrate on stance. I know last week I got really ahead of myself. I think I was looking at our practice plan, getting our working on closing out and coverage. And I was thinking that in my head and got a little ahead of myself and was saying we was going to discuss coverage. And I think, you know, got a little too ahead of myself with that plan. I'm going to slow it down and keep it with the basics for now. And we're going to talk about stance. Stance is very important, man, because, you know, the ball's going to snap, and that's ultimately what puts the game in play. So whenever the ball snaps, you want to be in a great position to make a good play, no matter where you're coming at on the field. If you're on the offensive line, you want to have a really good firm base. Whenever you got your 3-point stance, you want to have your feet shoulder width apart. You don't want your stance too narrow. You also don't want it too wide. When it's too wide, it's hard to come out of. You're going to be moving slower. And when it's too narrow, you don't have enough power in your legs. And, you know, you want to have a good split to where you can squat, you know. So that's why squatting's a huge thing with technique and important into this game, is because out of everything that you're in, you got to explode on that first step. So, you know, that's why squatting's so important for the game and for athletics, period, for me, you know, because out of any stance at any given point in time, you know, you're going to be pretty much shoulder width apart with your feet, you know, down the line for majority sports. So You want to make sure that you have power whenever you're stepping and whenever you're coming out of that stance. So the biggest thing would be explosion if you're on the line. Explosion. You know, we talked about usage of hands and feet work, and we talked about being able to be athletic and maneuver with moves and stand in front of people. And whenever you're first, the ball's on the ground and everybody's lined up, you want to make sure that you got shoulder width apart and that your butt's anchored perfectly. You want your knee to be a perfect 90 degrees. You want to break parallel with the ground and make sure that your knees are perfect parallel before you put your hand on the ground. So get you a good stance, and then when you put your hand on the ground, you want all your weight to lean forward on your toes and on your upper extremities, man, on your fingertips and on your toes. That way you can explode out of that stance. And what that does is, the reason I come, you don't want to sit in on your heels and want to sit on your butt and on your back and keep all that weight back there. The reason I come, you want to come out of that stance explosive is so you can be the most quick that you're going to be. You want to be as quick as possible. So whenever you're coming out of that stance, you want to be able to attack, wherever your assignment is, aggressively and as fast as possible, because that guy's going to be in a good stance and trying to get to where he can put himself in a good position and make a play. So a couple of drills that really work with that is, I'll set up a cone and blow the whistle. And I'll have a pad, and we'll go one way or another. And whenever you get outside those cones, your techniques become too wide, and you're opening a hole. So having them understand, like, okay, even though I got this guy and I got him blocked, I need to stay within inside my limits. Stay within inside my zone. That way they're not opening up space, but really coming off and attacking that pad. And of course the sled. I know you watch old football movies, maybe Necessary Roughness or Program or something, and you can remember funny blooper of a coach blowing a whistle and getting pushed on the sled by players. That sled right there, that's what we're talking about when we're saying sled, not necessarily like you're on a sled or anything. It's a sled, and it got dummies on it, and it's really good for coming off of the ball for ball movement. So when you're working on ball movement and coming out of a stance for line, offense or defensive line, works on that explosion and attack. That first punch, it works on that, and getting that more of a habit and more natural for those players. So whenever they come off that ball and they got all their way on the upper extremities, you want to have that punch to go with it. So they won't be able to get a good punch, get their hands on them, have great hand placement, and be able to move their feet with those players coming out of offensive stance whenever you're in 3-point stance. And whenever you're getting the ball, if you're, in split back and you're in a 3-point stance, or you're on wing tee or flanker and you're in a 3-point stance, pointing to that stance and having, all your weight in the upper extremities so you can move and get that ball. I played at Carson for a little while, and they run that, pro split. And the pro split, our backs are in 3-point stance, and it's quick, man. Like he set it up to where, like, 2.5, 3 yards, off the ball, so it's hard to kind of see them. And they're moving coming out of those stance. They're moving, they're breaking through there fast, coming out of 3-point stance. And that's how it moves efficient. Those guys have to be quick out of that stance. And it all starts with having, a good base, having their feet, appropriate length apart, and then having their body weight on their upper extremities. That way, all their speed and all their power is going to come off of that first step. So your first step needs to be very explosive when you're playing this game. So we're going to flip to the other side of the ball and talk about defensive line stance. It's a little bit different with defensive line, for me. I know a lot of people inside the trenches at young ages, teach 4-point stance, and that's really good. 4-point stance help you get your good speed and get you ready for a double team. If I felt like I was going to be double team playing D line for a little time, I did. I prefer that 4-point stance. Cause I would explode on the first guy, that was up, and when I found that next guy that was down, at that point of contact, I felt more comfortable about getting my hands back down after I had got him up. So, whenever you got a double team, you usually got a high and a low. It depends on where the ball's going. A lot of time it's counter trap up the middle, and it depends on what side of the ball you're on, which way they're going to come. But usually that center's going to cut low, and that guard's going to stand you up. And if it's the opposite way, it's going to be a guard that's going to try to reach and cut, like scoop block. It's going to be a guard that's going to try to scoop block, and then a pulling guy that's going to try to knock you down, or a tackle that's coming inside, like jailbreak or something like that, might kind of try to get you knocked down. That way they can seal that side. But usually it's the center that's going to come low. It's usually going to be the guard when you're inside the trenches. Now, if you're a defensive end, you know, it's about speed and it's about containment, and it's about not creating lanes for the quarterback to sneak up in. So, you know, you want to be a hunter. You know, if you get upfield, you don't want to get up too far upfield where you can't make a play on the inside. And you got to respect people's speed. You know, you got people like Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray could take off, you know, with very little space and get through there, and you know, then make you look stupid and you missed your assignment. So you know, you won't want to get up too upfield too much, and you want to make sure that you keep containment. And containment means that you don't let the quarterback outside of you. You don't let the quarterback outside of you. That's what it means to contain. Think about a container, say like Gladware or something. Like you put a lid on it, and you don't expect no juice or anything like that. Your spaghetti to spill out of that because that lid's on there. You know, it's the same thing. You don't expect their play personnel to come outside that container that you got set there, that lid. So you got to conceal that lid and seal that side. That way nothing spills. And once you spill, you know, you got to have your linebackers in a great stance in order to go ahead and contain that spill, and on to the next level, to the third level, where it'll be a corner. And it's harder to do at cover three. But you know, you got to play your zone and play your man, and it'll kind of rely more on the safety after you pass his level. After you pass his level and it's recognized as run, or if it's a flare, then he has to come up and contain that spill next. So you know, it's taking those two guys out of their zone and out of their play. You know, if the quarterback has the ball, or even if it's a running back, it's a halfback pass, and those guys have to react to it because that defensive end didn't turn the play inside. Then you know, then you have trouble. So you know, it all starts with a stance. The older you get, they'll teach you techniques. You know, more along the lines of which foot to put forward, which foot to put back. I know main thing is you always want your outside arm free at defensive end and contain guys. You want your outside arm free, so when you approach that line, where you're right or left outside linebacker or defensive end on certain schemes. I know people run 2-4-5s and 1-4-6 and 3-3-5s and stuff like that, and solid 3-4s and 3-4-unders and 4-3-unders and overs. And you know, you have a defensive end or outside linebacker on the outside of the formation because maybe it's an unbalanced line or whatever. It could be other than just defensive ends. You want to always keep your outside arm free to last guy on the edge of on the formation, no matter what you are. Even if you are a corner, it's unbalanced, there's no receiver, and we slide a corner in. Yeah, we might send you on a crash, or we might go inside on a beta or alpha, or you know, some kind of play like that. But you want to make sure that you line up on the formation with your outside arm free, because you never know. You know, you don't play what you see. You know, I might call something and it goes opposite way from it. You know, you need to be watching the ball and be paying attention to it, because you know, there's going to be times offensive players are going to make all great offensive plays and going to call great offensive calls. You know, and you gotta be able to be smart, have your head on the swivel, think on your feet. You know, and be able to see, okay, that's where the ball is. I'm gonna follow the ball. Follow the ball first and foremost. But as far as defensive line stance, you're gonna put your lead foot in front of the side that you're on. So if you're on the left side, you're gonna put your left foot forward a little bit and put your right foot's toes at its heels. And what this is gonna do, it's gonna give you a good first step, and you wanna try and make that first step past the line of scrimmage. I think of a lot of great players that have great first steps, like LT. I think about there's so many, man, like that come to mind, like Jadeveon Clowney, or the Watt brothers, or the Bosa boys, Jared Allen. There's so many amazing athletes you can just sit here and think of. But one thing that really impressed me with Jadeveon at a young age and Melvin Ingram at a young age was their first steps. Usually it's about 1.5 yard, 2 yards up the field by the time the guy reacted to him. And with Jadeveon, being the size he was, man, he was about 3 yards in high school up the field with his first step. It was such an explosive step. Guy runs a 4.5 guy, getting there that fast, man, it was hard to recover for, high school kids. So he ended up being a number one player and ended up being a number one pick eventually because of that step. So that step, it puts you in great positions to keep everything contained. It gets you past that that big guy. Usually it's the biggest guy on the team, 6'7", 300 pounds, once you get to college pro level. And you usually really athletic, pretty quick for that size is, what that usually means. If you're playing outside of those tackle spots, it means you're athletic. And getting past those guys, it can be trouble. But if you got a good first step and you keep your hands, you keep your outside arm free, and you keep your hands busy while you're getting through blocks and keep their hands off of you, and you're gonna be in good shape. But it all starts with a stance. Before you do anything, you're gonna be in a stance. So you gotta make sure that you have a really good stance. So you wanna put your inside toes on the inside of your heels of your lead foot. And you want to start out, try to get your get, make sure you got your butt parallel to the ground, good 90-degree angle with your lead foot. And you want to have your knee to glute, knee to calf. You want to have it knee to glute, knee to calf. And whenever you stand up, you will have all your weight on your extremities, coming out of these 3-point stance. So all your upper extremities need to feel that weight. So your tippy toes all the way up to your fingertips. And that way you'll explode out of that stance and hopefully get past that first layer and just be able to go make a play without somebody touching. But, like we always discuss, no, nothing's perfect. Nothing ever goes perfect. You gotta prepare for the worst. So, if you got a good guy that's really tough, you want to push him as much upfield as you can go, but you don't want to, lose containment or leave a huge gap behind you, and then work back underneath if you have to. But you want to make him move outside. You want to get to that outside edge, and if you can get across that outside edge and make a play, great. That's what we want to get to. But you want to push him past that quarterback. You want to push him past that quarterback. That way, if you have to work underneath, you can get to him. You can get to him a lot easier than you had to get, than you have to go through that guy and get to him. So you want to make it as easy as possible. But having a real good punch whenever you're coming off that line is important too, because, a lot of times the defensive guy should have the speed advantage. And if you punching your hands when you're coming out of that stance and you're moving faster than that guy getting out of his stance, a lot of times you're gonna push him down, or you're at least gonna have separation. So you wanna create separation from you from your block, and that way you can make a play on the ball. And by having a good stance, being low, coming off that ball hard, and seeing where the play's at and diagnosing it early, and you moving off of that ball, and you get a good punch as soon as you came out of that stance, you're just gonna have that guy off balance for the rest of the play, and you'll be able to make a better play on the ball. So that's what's about. You want to be able to create separation from the block, and that way you can make a play on the ball. And with all that comes, with the stance, but you got to diagnose the play as well. So that's real important. That layer feeds into the next layer, because then in on defense, you got three layers. You got your D line, you got your linebackers, and then you got your secondary. Okay, and that's three levels right there you got to get through. All of them gonna feed off each other. In order to have a good defense, the defensive line has to work well with the linebackers, and the linebackers have to work well with the D line and the secondary. And the secondary has to cover well enough for the front to get to the quarterback, but the defensive line has to get to the quarterback fast enough, for the corners to be able to cover the receivers and the safety stay over top. So all that works together for you to have a good defense. And if there's any component off, it's gonna throw the whole machine off. It's going to throw the whole entire machine off. So you want to make sure that you got a well-oiled machine. You know, you got communication, you got players, you know, understanding how to play with each other and get the most out of each other and get each other up. So this one's going to talk about teammates. Growing up in high school, you know, we had top defense in the state, and it was because our relationship with each other was, you know, unmatching. It was unmatching. We communicated well with each other. We knew what, you know, each other's strengths and weaknesses were, and you know, and we tried to add our strengths where it was weak at, and we worked together as a unit. You know, and even at our worst, you know, we're still trying to figure things out instead of getting at each other's throats. And that's what it got to be. You know, you can't sit there and constantly be mad at each other. You gotta make each other better, and you gotta learn, you know, how to be strong where others are weak at. That's on your team, and that's part of being a leader too. So if you want to put that leadership role, you want to get that captain patch on your jersey, you know, the way you gotta go about it, you gotta make sure everybody works well together. You gotta make sure that that machine's well oiled. So, you know, it's more than just being vocal. You gotta lead by example too. So you gotta go out there and play hard at all times. And, you know, that's one thing that, you know, me and Meese was able to do together really good. Both of us were alphas, man, and you know, we was always, you know, fighting and competing against each other. But, you know, when it came to winning and playing a ball game, we worked the best with each other, because we both, you know, wanted to get it done. We both wanted to win. But neither one of us had a problem, you know what I'm saying, taking the back seat to the other if it was necessary. But we both coming and chasing that ball because we want to tackle. Like, I want to tackle, he wants to tackle, and there's nine other guys out here that want to tackle. And that's what it was. Like, we was racing to the ball. I'm gonna beat you there. And that's how we played together, you know, and everybody fed off each other. And you know, that was the greatest thing that all of us was able to do. No matter who got, you know, no matter who got the superlative for that week or during that game or who got to shine during that game, like, we was all making sure we did our jobs, you know. And there's games I didn't have a lot of tackles because the defensive line did their so job the job so well, my position was completely obsolete. Like, they completely took me out of the game of playing well. And I was fine with that. You know why? Because we was out there winning, we was kicking the butts. And that's what really mattered to me, you know, and that's what ultimately gotta matter to you. Is to get to your overall goal. You know, hey, yeah, we got to win this game so we can go win the next game. Yeah, I completely understand that. And how we gonna do that? All of us together. Ain't gonna be just me out there. Ain't gonna be just the people I choose out there. It's all of us out here together. So if you're out here, I'm gonna need your best. And that's how you gotta approach it. But all starts with stance. So at linebacker, you wanna make sure that you got good depth on your stance. You can't be too shallow. Also, you can't be too deep. That way, you ain't leaving a gap between the defensive line or a gap between the secondary that's completely unnecessary. You got to be able to cover pass if you're at linebacker, but you got to be covering run first. Okay? So, run's your priority at linebacker. You got to make sure that you stop run. As soon as you diagnose that it is pass, which means that your threat has completely cleared the quarterback. And you got to read your keys. You know, you have certain keys, and people have certain ways of doing things. I know how I tell my kids, you know. So, you know, they read it to make sure a threat clears the quarterback before they get in the coverage. And a lot of people backpedal, and some people turn and run. And I prefer half turn and turn and run. You know, I prefer that because not a lot of people are fast at backpedaling. You know, there's not a whole lot of people that's just as fast as they are backpedaling as they are, you know, running. So I want you to be able to get to that spot fast. So, you know, we're gonna keep our eye on where the ball's at all times, but we wanna swivel our hips and turn and run to where we need to go. You know, turn around where we need to go. So starting at linebacker, like, it's no 3-point stance, so it's you on your two. So you gotta make sure your butt's anchored. If you don't have your butt anchored, when one of those big guys come out there on you, cause you're high, you're gonna be blocked. You're gonna be blocked because you're high, you know, and they won't take you out of play, and there's gonna be yards because you're supposed to have the D line's back, and you didn't have the back because you was too high. So you gotta have an anchor, and you wanna stay low. You want to stay low, and you want to chase. You're going to follow your keys, and you're going to chase where the ball's at. Like I said, if there's a threat and your guy clears the threat, and you see another guy in motion coming the opposite way, your threat's clear. That's your new key. You need to follow where that guy's going. He's coming across this line of scrimmage for something. and you let them know, hey, across, reverse, whatever you need to yell, wolf, rooster, whatever you need to yell, and it's on your team. Whatever your team says, you need to let them know, hey, this guy come across formation, guy come across formation. You're going to check him to see if he has the ball, but you want to make sure that you still contain it. So you got to be smart. If he does get the ball, you see that he has the ball, chase the ball. But you got to make sure he has the ball because you can't let this quarterback out and get a naked bootleg and gain a bunch of yards either. You got to do your job too. So the main thing is you got to make sure that you're doing your job. If everybody's doing their job on the field, then there's not going to be a misconstrue of, responsibilities. That way there's nothing open. There's no gaps open in your defense. So that communication's a key part of that. That's one thing I got to get across to this team is the better you communicate, the better you're gonna have things covered. Yeah, there's gonna be great plays that's gonna be made on you, but you gotta be able to adjust. Okay, they're hitting us deep in the middle. What can we do to call that? I can call this coverage, and this is what I can keep on from where I'm at. You can keep on this from where you at, and you can keep on this from where you at. All right, bet. Hey, get a little bit more pressure up front. Let's run some twists and let's run some loops, or let's get a little bit more blitz and get this guy a little frazzled because he has too much time. All right, bet. That's a couple things you can do. But it all starts with having, your butt parallel to the ground, a good 90-degree angle at your knees at linebacker, and be able to diagnose the play from there. And you gotta take your read steps to where your key is. You're taking two steps to where your key is, and then once you diagnose if it's run or pass, you chase the ball. Well, if it's not run and you ain't chasing the ball, you're dropping coverage to where you need to be accordingly. If it's cover four, get to where you need to be. If it's cover three, get to where you need to be. If it's man, grab your man. And follow them, stay on them the whole entire time, and that's how that gets played. Now, as far as secondary, safety's got to take the read steps and they got to stay over top. So you got to stay over top first before you can come up and make a tackle. Make sure it's run. As soon as you diagnose that's run, then you're a heat-seeking missile to the ball. You don't let nothing get in your way to the ball. If there's something in your way in the ball, you got to get rid of it. You got to knock him down and make sure you get to the ball. But you got to have your knees bent. You got to be, gotta have your butt anchored that way. Whenever you're taking your read steps, there ain't no missteps because you got your feet together, you got your butt anchored, you got your knees bent, and you're low to the ground. So instead of being high, you'll be able to redirect better by being low. So the key to all these stances is staying low. You don't never want to be high. And that was the very first thing we talked about was staying low. And this is why you won't be able to maneuver out of your stance better than anybody else in your opposition. If you're a receiver, you want to have that first leg forward, your lead leg forward. You're going to be leaning with your body weight to be able to get off of that ball because that guy's coming to jam you. You know he's trying to touch you. You know he don't want you to catch the ball. You want to go catch the ball. You got to do whatever's necessary for you to go catch that ball because that's what you do. You want to go catch. So you won't be able to do that. And you don't want no differences in your stance from your run plays and your pass plays. If I read it just run play because of how you're doing a certain thing, I'm gonna know it's run and I'm gonna beat you to where I need to go because I know it's run. And if it's pass, then I know it's pass and I'm gonna be ready to guard and defend, the route tree that you're gonna run against me. So you need to be able to have a good stance, have that foot forward. That way you take a good step off that line. That way you can get in and out if you need to and make a move on that guy and get past him because a lot of guys are gonna bump and run. So you gotta set your moves up, you gotta be able to get his hands off of you. And you need to be able to move fast off that line too. You might get a free release and be able to go full speed for a streak, So you wanna be able to take advantage of that too. So you wanna be able to move quickly. You wanna keep your toe on the outside of your heel. And if you're on that corner, you wanna have your butt centered inside. You wanna keep that guy inside of your hips, inside of your groin, inside of your center. You wanna stay. If he's a taller guy, you want to push him more inside and don't let him have outside. And if he's a faster guy, you don't want to let him inside. You want to push him outside and use that boundary as an extra defender. But you want to have him and guard him like you're a basketball player, but you got to have your butt low, So you got to have a 90-degree angle. Keep your butt low. Have your hands ready to jam. And you'll have a good stance. You'll be able to keep him from making a good play. So all starts with stance, and then next is your reaction off of that ball movement. So you want to be able to make sure that you're moving the best whenever the ball snap. That way, whenever the ball's in play, you can make a play on the ball. That's all we got for you today here with Coach Sims. Remember, you got to make your teammates better, work as a unit, and achieve all your goals. You want to have a good stance, whether you're playing offense, defense. You want to have a good stance. That way you'll be better than your opposition when the ball snaps. I'm Coach Sims. Thank you for this episode.